Hello, this is your Sun Sounds volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton, bringing you this week's edition of Earth and Home. Today, we will be reading from Mother Earth News, February, March, 2024, and Real Simple Magazine, March, 2024. Let's get started with Mother Earth News. Lessons learned from selling homemade soap. A seasoned soap maker shares how to avoid slip-ups when turning your hobby into a business. By Melanie Teagarden. Most people find that when they reveal the news of their soap-making endeavor, it sparks enthusiasm from friends, family, and would-be customers. People can't wait to try your bars. You make piles of soap during your practice runs, tempting you to give them away freely just to keep from being overwhelmed. But eventually, the costs grow larger, so you think about selling. Consider these factors before you do. During 20 years of making and selling soap, I've developed opinions based upon firsthand experiences and conferring with other professionals. When my experience differs from that of my soap-making colleagues, I search out additional perspectives. I want to share the best of my research. May these lessons help you in your journey toward running your own soap-selling business. Truly learn the craft. Take the time to learn your craft before you sell. A loyal following happens when customers are consistently satisfied, and that only happens when your products are consistently good. Mastery takes hands-on, trial-and-error experimentation. Various oils and how they interact with fragrances, botanicals, techniques such as swirling, and colors, micas, oxides, or ultramarines, will all introduce layers of complexity. Through it all, you'll need to achieve the texture and appearance your customers expect every time. Progress gradually. Only explore the possibility of selling your soap to the public after you've developed recipes you're happy with and yield consistent results whenever you make them. When you experiment with additives, herbs and spices, clays, essential and fragrance oils, and natural or lab standardized cosmetic colorants, practice one new element at a time so you fully understand how each behaves. Repeat this process for each new type of product you want to make, waiting to sell until you've mastered each. Be patient with yourself and enjoy the process. Learn to hot process. The hot process method is similar to cold pressing for the first half of most soap recipes. Mix lye, mix oils, pour the lye mixture into the oil mixture, and agitate to move along the chain reactions. However, when hot processing, after the mixture reaches medium trace, it sits in a slow cooker set to low for a few hours to finish processing. The cooked soap completely finishes its saponification before you mix in fragrances or colors and pour the soap into a mold. You need about half as much fragrance for hot processing compared with cold pressing soap, and you don't need to worry about misbehavior such as rising, separating, or seizing soap batter. The soap is usable as soon as it cools and hardens into sliceable pieces. When you run into a fragrance that does misbehave, you can throw it into a slow cooker, cook it, and end up with a soap that's perfectly usable, if not aesthetically flawless. Stock a variety. Some people love a creamy, unscented bar of handmade soap. For others, essential oil fragrances, intense colors of micas, or lovely flecks of botanicals lure them. You can drive yourself crazy trying to have something for everyone. On the other hand, you can miss sales by appealing to one group. If you produce bright colors and creative scents, keep one or two unscented, uncolored varieties in stock for those who prefer them. You can grab a few more sales, and the plain soaps get better with age. If you primarily offer all-natural bars, include several lovely pastel shades of natural colorants. They're beautiful and appeal to many. Learn fragrance oils. When searching for fragrance oils, look for suppliers that specialize in phthalate-free, cosmetic-grade oil concentrates. Forgo diluted perfume oils. They smell good in the bottle but can't stand up to the raw soap environment. nor will you want fragrance oils that contain alcohol, which can cause curdling and seizing in your soap recipe. Avoid candle or lotion scents, unless they've been tested as safe for cold process soap recipes. Only use fragrance oils designed for the purpose, and always read reviews. Even if the supplier does its own soap testing and posts results, check if things work out the same for everyone using the product. It takes a lot of fragrance for a soap recipe. Expect to use approximately 2 ounces of fragrance for the average 32-ounce soap recipe, enough to fill a 46-ounce mold after adding water and lye weight. If you use essential oils, look up resources to determine which oils are skin safe and their proper dilution rate for homemade soap. Every essential oil has a different concentration rate, and each one will require using a distinct amount to yield a lasting scent. Understanding a bit about perfumery will help you to create a blend that'll last in the harsh raw soap environment and not fade away in the finished soap. Minimally, learn whether an essential oil is a top, middle, heart, or base note, and how to blend them to create a complex scent profile that won't fade. When to say no or yes. Everyone will offer opinions about what you should make. The pressure to feed their desires can be overwhelming. Listen to yourself over the din of other voices. Is a certain product line or soap style really the direction you want your business to go? Practice saying, "Thanks for the input, I'll think about it," so you can avoid the pressure of an immediate response. While practicing the art of saying no, don't forget when to say yes. Offers of help can be invaluable with a little time devoted to teaching and fitting the right task to the right person. Especially when you're just getting started, friends and family will often eagerly volunteer their services. Take them up on it, especially when these trainees have the capacity to continue working with you for some time. Feel out your limits. After 2 years of running a brick-and-mortar shop, an online retail store, and a thriving wholesale business, I realized I had painted myself into a corner. Saying yes to too many good ideas too fast had resulted in 11 products, each available in 15 different scents. I remained cloistered in the back, working more than 70 hours per week, producing thousands of products by myself, while my helpers held down the storefront. Such a situation isn't sustainable. If you can't be gone for a short time without everything falling apart, make hard decisions to cut back on products that eat too much time or money or yield too few sales. Get bars to noses. The best way I've found to sell soaps is to have naked, attractive bars out front, ready to go into a hand and then up to a nose. Have options available that won't repel germ-conscious potential customers. For sniffing, include small jars with cotton swabs or blotter paper strips dipped in the scent. Glass salt shakers, available at most dollar stores, are perfect for this purpose and reusable forever. Price accordingly. Making soap costs money, takes time, and requires space and significant know-how. Figure out how much you need to make after you factor in labor and material costs, and work toward that figure, even though you may have the time of your life running your new business. As only one cost to consider, if you work out of your home kitchen, cover all surfaces against contamination before you begin. Converting your kitchen back and forth is time-consuming and part of your workload. Invariably, some people will find your product too cheap. Others will think it's outrageous to charge more than the grocery store prices for detergent bars. Don't sell yourself short. Psychologically, low prices will make people think your soap is inherently less valuable. Also, you'd be undercutting soap-making colleagues who charge more reasonable, higher prices, which they won't appreciate. Consider insurance. Whether gifting or selling, carefully and completely label the packaging with all ingredients in order of dominance. This is the only way your customers can protect themselves from known allergies and sensitivities. It's critical that the label on every bar of soap is accurate and complete. Include your contact information on the packaging in case anyone has questions about the contents. As an added precaution, but a smart one, the Handcrafted Soap and Cosmetic Guild, a nonprofit trade association for small businesses handcrafting soaps, recommends purchasing soap makers' insurance. Design your booth. In any sales situation, you'll want to be eye level with customers. Sit in an elevated director's chair or stand, which will put you where you can easily engage with customers so they don't avert their eyes and pass by. When you need to sit in a low position, arrange yourself up front and clearly visible. Customers with questions won't want to search for someone to answer them. For the same reason, display prices prominently. Folks don't want to have to ask, and often they won't. The booth itself should be neither stark nor overly complicated. Have an abundance of product available. Scarcity leads to fewer sales overall, while not so visibly cluttered that people get choice overload and walk away empty-handed. Avoid a distracting display. Your product should be the most prominent and noticeable part of your setup. Make the business yours. You don't want to be the next body shop. You want to be the first and only you. Your customers will come up to you for a unique product, foregoing big box stores for a reason. Just because everyone else has lotion, massage oils, soy candles, and lip balms, that doesn't mean you need to. By the same token, if having an ever-evolving product line keeps you learning and engaged, then make it your thing. Make sure your business model works for you the way you want to live your life. What better reason is there for being self-employed? I've got more to share on a companion podcast episode. Tune in at www.MotherEarthNews.com/podcast/soap. Melanie Teagarden makes soap in her Appalachian mountain home, where she lives with her husband and three charming cats. Melanie writes on gardening and horticulture and enjoys foraging wild edibles and painting watercolor portraits. Launch your soap-making career today. Continue learning about the world of soap making and how you can carve out your own space in it with Melanie Teagarden in her new book, Mother Earth News Guide to Soap Making, along with sharing information about the business side of soap making. Teagarden offers some of her favorite recipes, a variety of tips and techniques for working with lye safely, and how to use base oils, colorants, and fragrances. With Teagarden's guidance, you can enjoy your own homemade soaps or launch your first soap-making business with confidence. This title is available at store.MotherEarthNews.com or by calling 800-234-3368. That's 800-234-3368. Item number 12217. That concludes Lessons Learned from Selling Homemade Soap. You are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is Earth and Home, and I am your volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton. Now let's move on to Real Simple Magazine. The Realistic Guide to Getting a Good Night's Sleep. We know what we're supposed to do at bedtime. Draw the blackout curtains, meditate, avoid wine, screens, the fridge, and other fun stuff. Thing is, those classic bits of advice can be impractical for our overextended, under-rested nation. Don't night sweat it. What you actually need is advice for the real world. Little tweaks to the standard strategies that can improve your rest without stressing you out. And here it is, by Amy Macklin, with additional reporting by Naomi Barr, illustrations by Andrea Mangia. Tired. Set boundaries around your bedtime. Inspired. Add more self-care to your day. Ever feel personally offended that a long day is over and you haven't had 1 minute just for you? So you blow off bedtime, then wake up exhausted? You may be a revenge bedtime procrastinator, delaying sleep to carve out time for yourself. In one study of Chinese nursing students, researchers found that bedtime procrastinators were more likely to experience self-regulatory fatigue. Self-regulation is controlling your feelings and behaviors so they conform to what's expected by your boss, family, friends, even the critical inner voice that says you should stop biting your nails. After 12 plus hours of meeting deadlines, answering your kids' questions, and passing on dessert, you may be too burned out to face one more should. Rather than chastise yourself, think about what would make you feel more fulfilled during the day, whether it's exercising, sitting with a book, or just zoning out for a bit. Also, what obligations can you outsource, share, or ditch? And think of going to bed on time, not as a punishment for current you, but as a treat for future you. Tired, go to bed at the same time no matter what. Inspired, the occasional late night is fine. Just don't sleep in. Consistent sleep and wake times are super important, maybe even more important than how long we're conked out. According to a recent study in the journal Sleep, people with regular sleep patterns, waking within the same one-hour window each day, had a lower risk of early death than people with irregular patterns, whose wake times fell within a three-hour window. That said, occasionally you want to stay up and enjoy life, says Wendy Troxell, PhD, senior behavioral and social scientist at the RAND Corporation, a nonprofit research institution. When you do party hardy, get up the next morning at your usual time or within 2 hours of it, especially if it's a Sunday. Troxell says it's better to be a little sleep deprived than to be wired on Sunday night, which can keep you up and throw off your entire week, she explains. Get up and, as soon as possible, seek some natural light, which helps your body regulate its sleep-wake cycles. Tired? Get at least 8 hours a night. Inspired? Adapt your routine to what works for you. It's a myth that everyone needs 8 to 9 hours of sleep every night, says Michael Bruce, PhD, a fellow of the American Academy of Sleep Medicine and the author of The Power of When. The amount you need depends on your chronotype, which determines whether you're naturally a morning person, an evening person, or somewhere in between, he adds. Building on chronobiology research begun in the 1970s, Bruce has categorized 4 major types. Lions, wake up at dawn like morning hunters. Bears, are go-with-the-flow types whose schedules most align with 9-to-5 culture. They amble out of their caves when the sun is up and are ready to snuggle after sundown. Wolves prefer to wake up late and stay up late in the style of nocturnal hunters. Dolphins are light sleepers and often have insomnia. Fun fact, only half of an actual dolphin's brain sleeps at a time. The other half keeps the body moving and stays alert for predators. Lions and bears have a higher sleep drive, the desire for sleep, so they tend to need more rest than wolves and dolphins, Bruce says. He measures sleep not in hours-long segments, but in stretches of 90 minutes, the approximate amount of time it takes to cycle through the 4 progressively deeper stages of sleep before we start over again. According to Bruce, lions and bears need 5 full cycles, 7.5 hours total, while wolves and dolphins require 4, 6 hours. Ideally, we'd keep schedules that suit our chronotype, but most of us can't lope into the office at noon and say, sorry, I'm a wolf. Still, Bruce says, small tweaks can help you feel more in sync. Lions could move morning workouts to the evening when they need a boost. Bears, who are grumpy in the afternoon, might need a power nap or a deep breathing break. Wolves might shower at night so they have time to ease awake in the a.m. Dolphins might need to eat energizing high-protein breakfasts and save the comforting carbs for dinner. Tired? Go teetotally dry. Inspired? Drink responsibly. Alcohol may lead you right to dreamland, but your sleep is less restful, and when the sedative effect wears off, you'll probably be awake in the latter part of the night. The way to booze and snooze is, unsurprisingly, to limit yourself to 1 drink. The rule of thumb I share with patients is to have 1 drink no later than 3 hours before bed, says J. Todd Arnett, PhD, director of the Behavioral Sleep Medicine Program at Michigan Medicine, who researches how alcohol affects sleep. That's how long it takes the average person to absorb 1 drink. Though so many factors are involved, your sex, your tolerance, your weight, whether you eat beforehand, if your nightcap turns into nightcaps, or your drink a little too close to bedtime, reach for a snack full of fiber and protein, bar nuts count, which take longer to digest, and hydrate. Have at least a full glass of water for each alcoholic drink. If you want to keep the good cheer going, consider a non-alcoholic version of your favorite beverage. Plenty of low or no alcohol beers, wines, and spirits taste great and can hit the spot. Tired. Stop eating 3 hours before bedtime. Inspired. Pick smarter bedtime snacks. Eating before bed has gotten an undeservedly bad rap. There's no great evidence that it harms your sleep, while going to bed hungry can definitely have an impact, says W. Chris Winter, MD, a neurologist, sleep specialist, and author of The Sleep Solution. I recommend having dinner at least 2 hours before bedtime, and if you get hungry again, have a healthy snack. Some snacks can actually promote better sleep. Three of his top suggestions. Hummus with crackers. Chickpeas are high in plant-based protein and the amino acid tryptophan, which can increase levels of serotonin, a precursor to melatonin. Extra credit if your hummus has garlic, which contains magnesium that could help with relaxation and sleep maintenance. Add a few crackers for carbs, which promote amino acid movement, making more tryptophan available to the brain. Yogurt with nuts and dried tart cherries. One of Winter's favorite before bedtime snacks. It has protein to promote sleep, plus the tart cherries contain melatonin. Salmon. A broiled fillet isn't exactly over the sink food, so try tinned salmon or Winter's Pick salmon jerky. The omega-3s can improve the quality of your sleep. Tired. If you can't sleep, get up. Inspired. Stay in bed and do yoga. Many experts say that if you're tossing and turning, you should move to another part of your home until you're sleepy again, lest your body comes to associate lying in bed with being awake. If you've had luck with this strategy, keep it up. If not, consider staying put, says Guy Meadows, PhD, co-founder and clinical director of the Sleep School in London, which offers individual counseling and group workshops, and creator of the Sleep School app. Staying in bed lets us rest, while getting up can make us more wakeful and worsen our anxiety levels, he says. Over time, we may even train ourselves to be up and about during the wee hours. Instead of staring at the ceiling, try a meditation called Yoga Nidra, also known as yogic sleep or psychic rest. It requires you to do nothing but lie still and can leave you feeling refreshed. Start by setting an intention, says Katie Stewart, PsyD, a Pittsburgh-based psychologist and yoga nidra teacher. Your intention can be simply to relax, she adds. It's a way to orient your mind so you aren't lying there with swirling thoughts. The session, usually 30 to 45 minutes, then follows a prescribed order, which includes bringing awareness to different parts of the body from head to toe, focusing on the breath, imagining opposing sensations in the body, hot versus cold, heaviness versus lightness, and observing feelings and emotions. Sometimes when I lie in bed practicing yoga nidra, my sleep tracker reports that I was asleep, Stewart says. Find guided sessions at Stewart's site, meta-kate.com, on YouTube, or through apps like Insight Timer. Tired, keep your phone out of the bedroom. Inspired, choose your content wisely. While bedtime procrastination is highly associated with smartphone use, the phone itself isn't necessarily the problem, according to Troxell. People minimize the role of the content they're consuming, which is designed to keep you engaged and even addicted, she says. This will sound familiar to anyone who's ever gotten lost in Instagram's space-time continuum, scrolling from video to video for the next dopamine delight. If you can't bear to put your phone down, at least skip social media and opt for a soothing video. Try the Monterey Bay Aquarium live cams, montereybayaquarium.org, or the Tranquil Environments in the Portal app. Alternatively, go with a different type of media, which evidence shows isn't all that disruptive. In a small recent study in the Journal of Sleep Research, researchers examined people who watched TV, listened to podcasts, or read books in the hour before bed, hooking them to EEGs that track total time in REM and deep sleep. As long as the subjects weren't engaging in lengthy binge sessions or multitasking, example, watching TV while using their phones, their sleep quality wasn't affected. That concludes the realistic guide to getting a good night's sleep. Best practices. What's your sleep style? Do you starfish in the middle of the bed? Spoon a pillow? Plant yourself face down? Certain positions may help with some health issues. Here are the potential benefits of each by Amy Macklin. On your back. Can reduce lower back, shoulder, and neck pain. This position helps keep the back and neck in alignment, says Devin Burke, author of The Sleep Advantage. For more back pain relief, try placing a pillow under your knees. May soothe dry eyes. Lying on your back means less pressure on the glands that help make tears. Could help prevent wrinkles. This is more of a vanity issue, but still, when we lie on our backs, our skin is smooth. Side and stomach sleeping can cause compression that may lead to wrinkles. On your side. May improve sleep apnea. Side sleeping helps keep our airways open for easier breathing. Back sleeping causes the upper airway muscles to relax, restricting oxygen and worsening obstructive sleep apnea, says Abhinav Singh, MD, director of the Indiana Sleep Center and a medical review expert for sleepfoundation.org. Can ease digestive issues and heartburn. According to a study in the American Journal of Gastroenterology, lying on your left may clear excess stomach acid more efficiently. Could possibly prevent Alzheimer's. Though more research is needed, a 2015 study indicates that side sleeping may most effectively remove waste from the brain, which contributes to Alzheimer's disease. On your stomach. There's good news and bad news. Stomach sleeping can reduce snoring and some apnea, but it can also cause neck and back strain. That concludes What's Your Sleep Style? If you missed any part of this program or are interested in another program, check out our on-demand menu on sunsounds.org. We are at the conclusion of this week's Earth and Home program. This is your Sun Sounds of Arizona volunteer broadcaster, Carol Hampton. Thank you for tuning in this week. Join me next time for another new and informative program. Have a great week and stay tuned to Sun Sounds of Arizona.